Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Your comments make the show better. Send us your thoughts live on our Facebook channel to be the star of today's show. Can't catch us live? Hit us up on our other social media channels to have your say. For now, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada and Canadian sports fans around the world. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on this Monday morning, December the 9th, Canada's only mid-morning sports talk show. We're live from Houston, Texas, and the DoubleTree by Hilton. I'm Rod Peterson. He's Darren DuPont, and welcome to episode number 132 of the program before a live studio audience. If you don't believe me, how about a big whoop from everybody? A big hello. There we go. It's the inaugural Rod Peterson Show VIP sports trip, and this is day, I don't know what it is, 5, 6. We've been down here since Thursday, Darren DuPont, and a very busy but excellent trip so far.
My goodness, yeah, the trip's been awesome. You guys have been great. I'm surprised, to be honest, that so many of you are down here. The Yorkton boys are here this morning, so that was good. A few late nights, but no, you guys have been really great. It's been great getting to know you guys, and I know I had a slow start to the trip, but excited to be here again today.
Well, I'm so stoked about today's show. A little more than Friday's show because everybody can hear very well. You see this karaoke machine I picked up at Walmart for $59 with the lights on the ceiling and everything. So everybody can hear us a little better. Don Narcisse and George Cortez were with us on Friday, and that was absolutely fantastic. As a matter of fact, I said to the folks, after the show, when we went out to Katy to the high school playoff game, I said, what did you enjoy the most about the show Friday? And they said the stories. Don Narcisse talking about his 13 Hall of Fame seasons with the Riders. George talking about his 5 Grey Cups. And you wanted to ask him what was his favorite Grey Cup. I kind of got a feeling that it was 2013 at home. It was the only time of all his Grey Cup wins to win it at home. And he felt that was a huge advantage that day. But people just loved the stories.
Oh, did they ever? Yeah, I did too. I mean, Don Narcisse, we've heard all the stories, right? But every time you hear him, it doesn't get old. And George, I've never had that opportunity to sit down and actually chat with him like that intimately. And not even on the air, but
up to NASA, which was fantastic. I wasn't really a big space fan before I got there. Now I am. Saturday night, the Houston Rockets, of course, up against the Phoenix Suns. Yesterday, the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos. Right, Kurt? Can you tilt your laptop up a little? They're telling... That's from Clark at home, who is watching this. There you go. And also last night, Golden Corral. And today,
this is why I'm so excited about the show. We got a couple of our guests here live already. One more to come. Garrick Jones is with us, and he'll be joining us right after the break. Garrick spent 2 seasons with the Houston Texans, including the second season of the franchise's existence. He is the large man over here to my left, your right. 2 seasons with the Bombers in 2002 and 2006. 5 years total in the CFL, including with Calgary and Edmonton. And then he spent time with the Falcons, the Chiefs, and the Jaguars. Very excited to get Garrick on here, whom I've never met before, but connected to the CFL. And then Mike Kershaw, who's sitting right down in front of us. He's the receivers coach, wide receivers coach at Rice University here in Houston. But he grew up in Regina. His dad, Phil, is a good friend of mine. And you old-timers will remember Phil Kershaw as the president of the Riders in 91-92, president of Ottawa after that, right, Mike? And then 2 seasons as the chairman of the Canadian Football League, Phil Kershaw. And his son, Mike, coming down. Well, he's here right now to join us a little later on in the program. So that's some pretty fantastic guests. Oh, and Jackie Mitchell will be here shortly as well. 7 seasons with the Saskatchewan Roughriders from 2000 to 2006. Perfectly timed with the Shivers Barrett regime. So Jackie's going to be with us here too. So that's a pretty big lineup.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm looking forward to it. It's one of the things I always love too, is when we get a chance to talk to people that we don't have that close connection with, and we get to learn new stories, new things.
I have to mention, we do have some news to talk about. A couple things. One, on Saturday night, the Ottawa Redblacks hired Paul Lapolis as their new head coach. Just the second in franchise history. Dave Naylor of TSN broke that story. So Paul Lapolis, he's not the first domino to fall. Rick Campbell obviously going from Ottawa to BC to be their head coach was the first. Riders officially announcing Jason Maas as their offensive coordinator on Friday, extending Jason Shivers as their defensive coordinator. And Willie Jefferson, we've learned this morning, has a free agent tryout arranged with the Miami Dolphins. Justin Dunk on that. Now, if he was still a Rider, we'd be a lot more worried. Now we're actually happy that Willie might be out of the CFL, because he was the most outstanding defensive player in the Canadian Football League with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, the Grey Cup champion Winnipeg Blue Bombers, which still sounds very strange for me to say. But that's our poll question today. Will Willie Jefferson make the National Football League?
You know what? There's no reason for me to doubt that he has an opportunity to make the Dolphins and that he would make the Dolphins. I kind of take it back to Cameron Wake when he was with the BC Lions and tearing it up, and he went down, and it was the Dolphins that he stuck with and then had a great career in the NFL. Now, I don't know that Willie Jefferson is Cameron Wake, but he's doing all the same things and coming off a great year where he's the top defensive player in the country. I think he's had a really good shot, and so I'm looking forward to see what Willie will do.
6'6", 270, Willie has all the tools, and I'm very much hoping that he does sign with the Miami Dolphins or any other NFL team. He is an outright free agent. He doesn't have to come back to the CFL. But our daily poll questions for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center, and the last I checked, 60% of respondents thinking that Willie Jefferson will sign with the Miami Dolphins. And just before we break here, this is the rollout for Flooring Superstores. Want to talk about the LaPolice hiring in Ottawa. I think it's it's great for everybody all around. And it's a two-for-one shot. They've got a head coach and an offensive coordinator in one guy, which I think if you need to save money in the CFL with the coaching salary cap and the staff limitation, this is a home run for Ottawa. I'm not sure about Paul because he doesn't have a quarterback and much talent there, but he did want to run his own show.
That's my biggest concern is for Paul. I think it's a huge home run for Ottawa. He's one of the most brilliant offensive minds in the game of football right now, and just coming off that tremendous game plan to win a Grey Cup through the playoffs and, of course, into the game against Hamilton. But, you know, too often we want to think that we can handle a role above us, or we think that we're worthy of the promotion. And sometimes we are. We've done the great job. He's done it. He's definitely earned it. But is that necessarily the best thing for Paul? And now he's got to be the head coach. And we saw it with Jason Maas, where he just wasn't necessarily a perfect fit to be a head coach, where you have to manage personalities and you see the tantrums on the sidelines. Well, as an offensive coordinator, you don't necessarily have to worry about the penalties that the defense is taking or a few things that are happening with your staff or what the kicker's doing or all of these different things. You can just worry about your next play call and worry about your guys. And I think with Paul, that's a big concern, is how much of his offensive attention will be taken away. And how will he handle that? But also the fact that there's not a lot of toys for Paul LaPolice in Ottawa right now. And Marcel Desjardins, I know him and Rick Campbell had a bit of a butting of heads because of the way they let their big marquee free agents go a year ago. So it'll be interesting to see. And clearly, that was something I'm sure that was ironed out in the interview process. So I'm sure Paul feels comfortable about it. But as coordinators, you got to be careful not to just take the first opportunity that comes to you. You almost have to make sure you choose the right fit because it could be one and done. I look at a guy like Matt Dunnigan, who took an opportunity to be a head coach, wasn't maybe the right fit, and all of a sudden he's never been back.
Okay, we're going to kick it up when we come back after our first break. Is this Karan? Garrett? Yeah. Karan Williams is here. About a hand for Karan, everybody. BC Lions great, who had a lot of success with the BC Lions. He's friends with Garrick, and they're both going to come on set next.
Yeah.
You cool with that? You can
of
enjoy
course.
Your coffee. They're gonna learn that Rider fans are CFL fans, because I've had guys in the past that have been leery about coming on these shows, these live remote shows, because, well, Rider fans didn't like me that much. It's over, Karan. They like you. So they're coming up next, plus a sports update. We're live from Houston, Texas on this Monday morning. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Every sale held in 2019 has led up to our biggest event of the year. Ring in the savings with year-end clear out at Capital Ford Lincoln. We're making a list and checking it twice of the biggest savings on brand new vehicles this holiday season. Get into a brand new 2019 4x4 F-150 for as low as $33,495 plus tax. And brand new 2019 Ford Escapes are starting at just $23,999 plus tax. It's the most wonderful time of the year at Saskatchewan's largest Ford store, Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Allen Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
It's the Rod Peterson Show, y'all! And the boys are live from Houston, Texas, on the VIP Sports Experience.
Welcome back live to the DoubleTree by Hilton here in Houston, Texas. A quick sports update here as we get rolling. Colin Miller scored 113 into overtime to give the Buffalo Sabres a 3-2 victory over the Oilers Sunday night. Riley Sheehan and Joaquin Nygaard scored for the Oilers, who have lost four of their last six. Mark Scheifele scored twice as the Winnipeg Jets won their third straight home game with a 3-2 victory over the Anaheim Ducks. The game-winning goal was the 400th point of Scheifele's NHL career. Kyle Lowry, playing in his second game after missing 11 in a row due to a broken left thumb, scored 26 points as the Toronto Raptors lost in Philadelphia 110-104. The defending champion Raptors have lost three in a row. And Jared Goff passed for 293 yards and two touchdowns. Todd Gurley ran for 79 yards and a fourth quarter touchdown. And the LA Rams prevented the Seahawks from clinching a playoff berth with a 28-12 victory on Sunday night football. And that is your Monday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. So, welcome again to the program here live from the DoubleTree by Hilton. Garrick Jones, CFL, NFL veteran, and Caron Williams, who's come along, BC Lions Grey Cup champion in 2011, part of a very, very special team, which we'll get to. Two guys that I've never met before until today, but Garrick, you and I connected on social media. Isn't a wonderful thing?
It's a great thing. A great thing.
So, talk about your time. But as we were sitting up here before we went on the air, you guys want to tell old CFL stories. And you did spend a few years with the Texans, so I'm going to get into that.
Right.
But tell me your CFL memories and your stops and some of the personalities.
Man, in regards to the CFL, that was probably the best time that I had as a professional athlete because it just was so warm and inviting, even though the terrain was colder. When I first got in, I was starting left tackle after my second day of practice with Coach Richie. So, and then I had Alfred Payton that game. So he was a CFL All-Star, perennial.
Swag.
Swag, old swag. And the guys basically had to tell me the plays the entire game. So the rest of the season I was there, I didn't really know the plays, but we got it done, man. We made it happen.
Your Bombers winning this year the Grey Cup, ending the 28-year drought. Were you watching the game, and how did you feel for them?
Man, I felt good for them, man. I wish I could have been a part of it, but I was rooting for them the entire way. You know, I guess because I played with so many teams, I always have a dog in the fight, but it just happened to be Winnipeg that time. But man, just for them to get past the drought was really good. I was really happy for Brad Foddy. You know, he's a good guy and he's been there the entire time, man, and he finally got a chance to experience this.
That's the equipment manager who just show up the year after they won the Grey Cup the last time?
I think so, man, and he finally got it. So I was more excited for Brad than anybody, man.
We're going to bring Caron on and tell some stories with the BC Lions, but I just got to ask you. Well, these guys both played for George Cortez. It would have been great to have you here on Friday because you were both in Calgary.
Right.
There. But you're good friends with Mike Abou-Meshrick, and he's an analyst on our show every week and a bit of a goofy guy. What can you – you got any stories on Abou?
Man, I think when I first got a chance to meet Mike, and that's when I first came back in 06. Mike was a really quiet guy, but he was a practical joker, man. So he was real – he was a real jokester, man. He did a lot of different things in the locker room, pulling down pants, all those different things. I don't want to get into it, but he played a lot, man. We had some good times, man. Had a good time.
I'm guessing including his own. If
yes,
I know
sir.
Room,
yes,
but,
sir.
So, Karan, you came down here with Garrick, and we're so glad you did. Talk about your connection and how far back you guys go.
Garrick and I went back from my entrance into the CFL. Shannon James and I from UMass, we came up at the same time, and we landed in Calgary. And, you know, we were there about 2 weeks before we were activated to be on the field. And Garrick was, we had to play scout team for the offensive line and actually learn the defense on the fly. So I spent a lot of time getting to know Garrick without the pulling down of the underwear.
But it was a
true testament. We built a natural bond. We started to build our relationship off field in terms of he did a lot of graphic stuff, and that's what I actually went to school for. So, you know, from day one, you know, Garrick's mental state was bigger than just football, which really made our bond stronger in the latter end.
We're going to get into that. Well, this is a gift, by the way, from Garrick.
You want to hang on to that?
I definitely
will. I want to get into your entrepreneur stuff because what you're doing down here in Houston is amazing. But you brought up your time with the BC Lions. You ended up in BC 2010 to 2013. You won the Grey Cup in 2011. Speaking of winning Grey Cups at home,
yeah.
That's a team that is in history because you started 1-6, right? And what do you remember about that year to rally from that and come back and win a championship?
You know, that was the most valuable season that I've ever had. And this is going back from Montreal when we won a Grey Cup, sadly, against Saskatchewan with 0-0-0 on the clock.
I don't remember that game.
I got the ring to prove it. But, no, that season start at one point we were 0-5, and to get a win and go back, you know, 1-6, it really challenged your mental state in terms of how far are you willing to go, how much are you willing to risk it on the line. And I think that was valuable. You know, Wally Buono, he instilled some real gifts into us, not only as athletes but as men, and how to be complementary of each other to build that camaraderie in the locker room and have it transition from that point to on the field and stacking wins on top of wins, along with, you know, Mike Benavides and the cast that we had from Brent Johnson to Travis Lule, you know, Adam Big Hill, Andrew Harris, those two guys who just won a Grey Cup. You know, we had a very good team. We were still raw, but I think we just hit our stride at the right time. And coming through that adversity, it really transformed everybody's mind state on that team in terms of when adversity shows up, what do you do with it, how do you respond to it. And it actually translate outside of football in itself and natural things that come and go in life. So it was a very memorable part of my life.
Man, I'm so glad you brought him. Tad Cornegay is a good friend of ours. He's been on the show a couple times. He says your season changed when you signed him. You may or may not agree with that. But when I say you made history because every time a team now starts 0-4, 0-5, 0-6, everybody says, well, remember the 2011 BC Lions, right? You know,
right.
And so that's, but Tad says it'll never happen again.
No.
Do you believe that?
I mean, history's always meant to repeat itself, but I think for it to happen, a lot of things have to line up in terms of guys thinking on the same level. And with the game changing so rapidly, with salary increases and different type of guys coming in from all over trying to just get a shine, your life expectancy in football is just reduced to a minuscule level where you got a small window to make that happen. So not saying that it won't happen again, but the right group of guys have to be in the same locker room at the same time.
Just one more for you on your BC time. Wally's the all-time winningest coach, and as you know, and a lot of coaches burn out after 3-4 years for whatever reason.
Right.
Wally, what does he do to transcend time and stay in one location for so long with so much success?
Wally Buono is a master at mind control and manipulation in the purest of sense. I call him Stone Face because you'll never know what he's thinking. You see him on the sideline chewing the bottom of his lip. When he goes into the locker room, you don't know what you're getting. So your best bet is to just keep winning every time you go out there, whether it's practice, whether it's a meeting, whether it's a game, especially if it's a game. just keep winning because you see a different side of him. It's not, you'll never get him talking to you, and if he walks by you without saying anything, you're like, man, is my job in jeopardy? Like, you know, did I miss a play? But it keeps you on your toes, and I think that's what he's really good at, is keeping players on their toes and allowing them to buy into a process that translate into championships, and that's why he holds the record that he does.
Well, as you likely know, he's retired, but teams keep trying to pull him back in, and he's like, I'm done. But he's consulting with Montreal, and that seems to be just what he wants to do. Garrick, so with you, I want to talk about the Texans for a minute, but Karan talked about your entrepreneurship, and you said you started a company in grade 9, was it?
Yes, sir. In grade 9, we started a graphics design company called Southern Flavor Images. And then we basically just worked that all the way up, and that's basically what I'm teaching a lot of the guys now, is about entrepreneurship and ownership and business.
Actually, we should talk about your exploits. I think where you and I connected was your Huddle Up Foundation that you run here in Houston.
Right, yes, sir. But unfortunately, guys don't get it until it's too late, and then they're trying to scramble and trying to figure out what they want to do with their lives, or they get lost in their transition. So we're here to teach them.
All right, and I want to ask you about the Texans.
Yes, sir.
You look at all those banners up at the in the roof at Energy Stadium. Right, it's pretty impressive, right? But you were there in the start. What was it like playing in a brand new facility with a franchise that was expansion in the NFL? Because they don't come around that often.
No, man, it was a shock for me because I was at Kansas City first. So I had the opportunity to be around a lot of veteran athletes like Willie Rolfe and those guys that, you know, were pretty close. But then to come here to the Texans the year after the inaugural season, it was young, man. It was really young. But those guys continue to grow, and as we just laid that foundation, you know, to just see where they are right now, they've been making strides, a lot of strides, but, you know, it's a lot of work to be done. But, you know, they're coming off a hard loss, but that's a part of the growing and the maturation.
Well, as George said, Cortez here on Friday, actually, he said it to me in the past, he didn't say Friday, but that it's really hard to win, period, in pro football. And that's, you know, he's talking about a 9-team league. So what the Texans are doing in a 32-team league is just astounding.
Right.
How are they doing it?
They're doing good, man. They're doing really well. It's a situation where everybody's there for a reason. You know, everybody's getting a paycheck. Everybody's done what they needed to do to be the less than 1% that make it. But it's just all about focus at this point with them. The group, the nucleus they have is a young, powerful group, but it's just coming together, all together as one with the coaching staff and so on and so forth. So they're doing some really good things, man. We just got to keep building.
What happened yesterday?
It's pro ball, man. If you don't show up to play, you show up to lose. So that's what happened.
Yeah.
That's it.
Karan, do you go to the Texans games? What keeps you busy down here, football-wise and post-career-wise?
Well, I try to avoid guys like Garrett in stature. But my wife and I, we moved here to Houston. We opened up a tech company. It's called Gravitate. Shameless plug, G-R-A-V-I-T-T-8, gravitate.com. And we basically specialize in developing brands, developing technology. We have we have two pending projects that deals with sports-specific technology, which I think when it hits the market, it's going to be revolutionary. Websites, and that's actually how Garrick and I sync back up due to our relationship. So we came here, I reached out to my connects. He was obviously one of my biggest assets in getting embedded in the Houston area. So having the opportunity to really show and where that and how that stemmed my last year in the CFL, and I left the game prematurely. But my last year, I had a chance to tour Saskatchewan on an athlete in action mission. So I was going around from prisons to schools to you name it, just talking to people, ministering in people's lives and trying to have them have a different perspective on their situation. One of the most scariest times, because I actually went into a heavy guarded facility, and you could just feel the energy there, but you can also feel the pain from these men who, you know, for whatever reason, ended up in the situation that they did. But long and short, it was nearing the end of that speaking engagement, and I was sitting in a convention center with Jamie Pitlabo, the director of the CFL Grey Cup, and he was like, "Hey man, we saw what you did with the New Era Hat Company. Would you like to design our Grey Cup Festival logo for 2014? And I basically was like, "Okay, all right. You had one too many. You need to stop joking with me because this is huge." So he's like, "No, we're serious." As soon as I got back to Vancouver, I jumped on it, created the 2014 Festival logo. Needless to say, that's when I was departing the CFL due to, you know, personal issues. But the chance that I was able to leave my mark, not only as an athlete, a two-time Grey Cup champion, perennial All-Star, but to have this avenue being my branch to a different lane that I'm so passionate about, it's really what birthed this tech company. And I feel like being the places I've been, talking to different people, learning people for every team I've been on ever since I was in college, I was a captain, not because, you know, I was a good athlete, which I was, but the fact that I was able to communicate and learn and talk to people was a true asset. And in branding, just like Eric said, sometimes as athletes we forget, you know, the legacy that we've built to a certain level. And once we get out the game, we don't know what to do with that opportunity. So we squander it, or we just end up doing something repetitive, some 9-to-5. Right. But true passion is in what you would do if you didn't have to play football and if you could do it for free. And that's something that I get out of just learning people's ambition for entrepreneurialism and embedding my knowledge from around the world, the CFL, Florida, New York, you name it, into their identity and give that identity life. And I think that's what drives me to be here in Houston. It keeps me very busy.
What time is it, Darren? I don't have a clock up here. 10:30. It's 10:30? Okay, good. We can keep going for a bit in this segment, right? So the stigma of a dumb football player, do you laugh at that?
Love it.
Yeah. Okay, love Gary, you it. Take I it for it. You love
I
it.
I love it. Well, that's the thing about it. Our schedules are so regimented, right? There are things that we have to learn in regards to the game itself, but that doesn't necessarily equate to success off the field when we're done. It's not that athletes are dumb. It's that they've been one-track minded the entire time, you know, from when you're peewee all the way up to the pros, right? But when you're done, all it is basically being exposed to different things, and then it's education after that. Then that's when the competitive nature comes out, and now we're off to the races. Companies spend big money. They spend lots and lots of money on sending their employees to learn how to be competitive when we're born with it. And those are the things that's the key to unlocking it for a lot of athletes. They don't really understand how much power they have because they've always been a part of a team and a part of a mission. But when you're done, it's like, okay, now what do I do next? And once they get it, they're off to the races then. So,
do you feel the same way? That you like being underestimated?
I think it gives you an advantage. Being the underdog, just for the simple stigma that's out there, it's really an advantage for you to do a complete 180 and blow people's minds when you start to unravel what's really inside. And I think that's something that, you know, football players should coin on. Now, granted, I played with a few football players that I think was kind of, you know, missing a few.
Right, right.
But the fact of the matter is, what I learned is that everybody learns differently. It's not that they can't understand a terminology or a system. They just have to take it in there. The playbook is thick. You know, it's so many plays, and you have to go out there week after week, and every week the play change in terms of the specific team that you're playing, the specific lineup that you're getting, matchup. So it's very deep in terms of terminology and understanding. So for you to learn that, and I left that, and I learned how to code in iOS, that's two different spectrums. But if you can learn, if you know how to learn, I believe that you can apply that system to anything, and it's an advantage.
I want to take questions from the crowd after the break, but and Jackie Mitchell's here. Say hi, Jackie. Give us a wave. There's Jackie Mitchell, number 24, Ryder great. He'll be with us a little later on in the program. But you talked about players. I just got to ask you about Khalif Mitchell.
I knew it.
You knew it. I won't wait for a crowd question on that. I mean, we had him for a day in Saskatchewan, and the league is like, no. Talk about playing with him.
Khalif Mitchell is a freight train. You know, you just have to make sure it's on the right track, else everything's going to go out of whack. So, you know, I had to learn how to play with him on my side. You know, he moved to the three technique. Obviously, he's a big man, 6'5", 3", whatever he is, but he's all solid. And the thing about football is you have to have that controlled aggression, that controlled rage, especially when things aren't going your way. And a lot of times you can lose that focus and lose control. And, you know, having to kind of coach him up while I was playing, it was a challenge, but in a good way, because it allowed me to predicate my next move off of what he was doing to the opposing lineman. So it's kind of like a chess match for me, understanding what his strong suits are and letting him go. But all in all, he's a really good guy. Getting to know him, he plays the piano. He's very funny. He coined himself Buck from Planets of the Apes. If you never heard that, that's what he liked to be referred to. I don't know why, but no, he's a really good guy. I just think when the lights are on, sometimes you know you can lose control based off of your current situation. So,
well, you mentioned that BC D line. I don't know if it's the greatest in CFL history. How about greatest of the millennium? I really thought that it was. And a guy that you mentioned here was Aaron Hunt. That's Reggie's little brother, guys. Ryder great. Aaron, who was fantastic with you guys, too. And he's down here, I understand.
Yeah. Aaron taught me a lot in transitioning from Montreal to BC. Are we the greatest or in BC? I mean, it's tough. When you look at lines like the Cameron Wake generation, you know, Brent Johnson's generation, and they both played together at the same time, and they both had their own separate. You know, I had a good stint. Who knew what would have happened if I had stayed in BC for another 3 years? I was just hitting my stride, and that's one thing that I had to realize, that every great player, you're going to have dips, but after that dip, you can expect to shoot up. So, you know, you got so many guys who can. It's arguable which one's the best one, but I think we put up some very competitive numbers, especially with the adversity team-wise that we were facing, and then to win it all at the end. I mean, that, you know, Wally Buon always preaches on the main components of a good football team is his offensive and defensive line, and whichever way the wave's going, that can tell you the outcome of the game. So, I mean, we had some good guys there.
Well, you mentioned, we were talking about D-lines, you mentioned Swack. Was he the toughest that you had to contend with in the CFL that you remember?
When I first got there, but then when I came back, you know, of course, that was the Johnson Wake era. You know, a lot of guys, I guess, they would get sack after sack after sack, but, you know, I came back from the NFL, so I had a good run with him. So,
yeah.
So it was, I think for me, Cameron Wake was probably one of the better athletes that I went, because he reminded me of the guys from the NFL, and I knew he was headed down, you know, after that. And, you know, we kind of had some conversations, and I told him, you know, you're going to be able to make your move now. Because of the numbers he was putting up, but he didn't get those numbers against me, so we could.
Any questions, by the way, for Garrick and Karan? From the crowd, there's got to be a few. Darren, think of some. We'll, and Amanda, you got one?
Sure.
Yeah. I think we'll, you know what, we'll go to the break, end of the segment with these guys, and then we'll bring on Coach Kershaw. Does that work, you think? And then we got Jackie stacked up. So think of your questions now for these guys, folks. What do you got?
What did you like or not like about the city of Winnipeg?
All right, the city of Winnipeg.
Oh, man, the city of Winnipeg. For me, when I came in, I had just left Jacksonville, so it was 111 degrees. When I got there, I mean, it was raining sideways, and I think it was like a -3. So for me, it was a lot different. It was a culture shock. I was 3,000 miles away from home, and that was really my first time being away from home. And that was kind of the deal, man. I mean, the city was great for me. It was a lot smaller. So it reminded me of home, but once I got a chance to go to other cities, I was like, whoa, okay, I see the difference.
Yeah. We talked about weather games, Karan. You got some thoughts on that in the CFL.
Yeah, I mean, I hate the cold. You know, I despise it. At one point, I would watch snow flurries on the TV, and I'd get goosebumps just how much I hate the cold. You know, so the worst, like I said, the worst game that I've ever played in temperature-wise was in Saskatchewan in that playoff game. I think it was 2013. Yeah. -20 wind chill. Right. And I had the audacity to go out there without any sleeves, any Vaseline, because yes, Vaseline clogs your pores, so it keeps you warm when you go out there.
Right.
And I was really a maniac looking back at it now. And then to lose the game, and I remember telling the story about, you know, Eric Taylor. He sweats a lot, and I sweat a lot too. But this, and he wears a handlebar, a big mustache handlebar. And, you know, we were there talking during the course of the game, and literally 1 minute of me looking at a play and turning back at him, he had two wedged icicles just attached to his mustache, still talking to me like nothing's going on. So that's when I walked away from him and went back in. But I mean, I don't do well with the cold at all. Yeah.
Well, we all hate it. That's why we're in Houston here. But just a word on Darian Durant in that game, 97 yards. That was where I literally, you know, we all saw him put a team on his back. He wasn't going to allow his team to lose that day. From the other side, what was it like defending Darren?
Darren is a, I think he's a magician in terms of eluding your rushes. I mean, there's so many times I've had him down, which I thought I had him down, and guys coming over the top, and somehow he's able to make those impossible throws from the pocket. The pocket's completely collapsed. There's no window, but he'll always find Bags or Dressler just floating, streaking. And you know, that's one of the most discouraging thing, that to hit a quarterback, taking him down, and in your head you're already thinking about your celebration. And to look back and see the ball completed, that's disheartening. And then his ability in the red zone to pull that ball and go up the middle, you know it's coming. It's just like, how is it so impossible to stop on the quarterback draw? He's really a dynamic player. I'm very happy what he did towards the end of his career, especially with G. Roy Simon there.
It was a heck of a story. And by the way, I was in Colin O'Brien's man shop 2 weeks ago, and they said the hardest rider to fit with clothes was Darian, because he's built square, like a fridge. Like a fridge. He's not tapered in any way. He's just square and obviously hard to bring down. Yeah. On the other side of the ball, your side of the ball, who's the best quarterback that you played with?
Ooh, Kahari Jones. I'll go Kahari when I first got in, for the simple fact that he made me feel at ease. He gave me the opportunity just to be me and play my game. And then we'll go to Henry Burris after that. So I had the opportunity to play with some good quarterbacks.
Yeah, those are some good ones. And your thoughts on what Kahari's doing in Montreal right now, not nominated for Coach of the Year.
Right.
Which the only thing that I think about that is we got great coaches up there. That's all I can say.
Right. It's a competition across the board, whether you're on the field or you're a part of the coaching staffs, you know. But he's doing some magnificent things when it comes down to just really connecting with the players. And that's really what it's all about. You know, once they buy into what it is that you have for them, they'll go out there and execute, you know, a hand of a fist. So he's doing some wonderful things, man. I'm very proud of him, man. Anytime I'm up north, I might see him and we'll talk a little bit. We just catch up on social media every once in a while, and I'm just letting them know, listen, man, continue to keep doing what you're doing, man. We're proud of you here.
Well, here's the thing about Kahari. Sometimes you guys, you know a guy and you just know he's going to be a great coach. With Kahari, I never thought he'd be a head coach because he was acting, he was doing all kinds of different things. Like, I didn't expect he'd be a head coach or even want to be a head coach.
Right. I mean, he's one of those guys that he's good at everything that he does. And it's once you find that passion and it's getting you up in the morning, I think this is where he's at. He's in the pocket right now. So it's fun to watch.
All right. How about a big hand, everybody, for Caron Williams and Garrick Jones joining us down here. This is awesome. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it. Garrett, keep in touch.
Yeah.
We got Mike Kershaw and Jackie Mitchell coming up. We're live from the DoubleTree by Hilton in Houston, Texas on The Rod Peterson Show. Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter. Monster hit. Crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
We Locally owned and family operated. Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
It's the Rod Peterson Show, live from Houston, Texas. Don't spend too much time at the buffet.
Welcome back, everybody. We're live from the DoubleTree by Hilton Suites in Houston, Texas. It is the inaugural Rod Peterson Show VIP Sports Trip presented by Uniglobe LGI Travel. Rod Peterson here, Darren DuPont back with me here in the lobby, and a big thank you to Garrick Jones and Karan Williams for joining us. And now, I'm really excited to bring on Mike Kershaw, wide receivers coach at Rice University here in Houston, who is a Regina guy. And Mike, don't be offended when your dad told me, you got to get my son Mike on there. I didn't even know that you existed. You've been gone from Regina a long time.
I left after eighth grade. So yeah, everyone's like, well, you don't sound like you come from Canada anymore. I was like, I don't. I've been gone. I've been in a lot of different places to bring on a couple different accents. So I don't have the Canadian accent anymore.
Yeah, well, like I said, you look like your dad. I think you took that as a compliment. You should. Handsome guy. And I know he'd be watching right now, as he always does, from Victoria, right? I believe is where you are.
I think he's in a place called Maple Ridge.
Okay, just outside Vancouver.
Yes, sir.
So we're going to get into the football stories and NCAA football, and I know you're going to have some questions there. But I just got to ask you about growing up in Regina. What are your memories? And, you know, who were some of your good friends?
My biggest memory, and I'll take it to the Rough Riders, since he's a Rough Rider fans here, is 1989, Grey Cup in Toronto. Sitting there, and I was a seventh grader. I was kind of a punk seventh grade kid, so when the battle between Hamilton and Rough Riders was going back and forth, there was a Hamilton fan about a row over, and I was talking a lot of trash, and he kind of turns back, so he starts talking a lot of trash when the game was going back and forth. But at the very end of the game, Dave Ridgway makes that kick. I'm talking a lot of trash. He turns back around and flips me off, and I was like, well, we won. So that's the best memory, best Rough Rider memory I've got.
Yeah, that is a fantastic one. And here's the thing, for background, because I told you Mike and I had never met before, you left Regina after grade 8, and you're with us here in Houston today. What happened in between? Because it sounds like a real wild story.
Yeah, we probably don't have enough time. Actually moved to California. We lived with my grandparents to actually just play high school football there. I was there for 9th and 10th grade. Moved actually with my high school football coach to a place called Opelousas, Louisiana, to play my 11th and 12th grade football there. So a little different environment than Regina, Saskatchewan. Got a scholarship opportunity out of Opelousas, Louisiana. Ended up going to Delta State University in Mississippi. Played there for 4 years. Left for a year and then actually came back. Had an opportunity to get back into the coaching deal. So I took that and kind of run with that for a long time till I guess it was 2007. Got out, married, met my beautiful, lovely wife. Got out of the coaching business. And now I actually got the opportunity to get back in a couple years ago with a guy that I coached with in Mississippi. And so took that, jumped on it. Now I don't have a job. I do what I love doing now.
Oh, good. You got something for me?
Yeah, no, that's so key. That's kind of what George Cortez said, right? Because the question came up, if you weren't coaching, what would you be doing? But you kind of, there's nothing else, right?
I was an insurance agent, owned my own insurance company, you know, made a lot of money and had a lot of freedom, did a lot of things, but you just miss it, right? If you're a football guy, you just miss being in football. And I had the opportunity to get back in, and I jumped on it as quick as I could, and love it every day.
Oh, good. Well, and I'll tell you what, talking with the Rider coaches, I know how highly coveted NCAA coaching positions are, especially in the division that you're in. I mean, you seem very grateful. You said this was, you thought maybe your last chance to get back in, you were jumping on it.
Yes, sir. So when Coach Blomgren, the guy who's the head coach at Rice right now, we coached together at Delta State, and he was the offensive coordinator at Stanford, and we had gone back and forth a lot of times. We were very good friends. But when he got this opportunity, we had actually talked the year before. He said, I'm going to take a job next year. He's had multiple opportunities to take a job. He was waiting for the right one. Rice was the right one for him. When he got this opportunity, I called him. I was like, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I just want an opportunity to get back in the door. I volunteered for the first year I came back, sold my insurance agency, moved the family down to Houston, and this is where we're at.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to ask you a question, and this is to a finite or a small group of our audience, but I just had supper with a dad and his son 10 days ago, Cindy. They're wondering, he's a 13-year-old quarterback in Regina, the top at his age, and he's wondering what to do in high school. Okay? You did it.
Yep.
What would you suggest to young top-end football players in their teens in Regina if they really want to get serious about their career?
You really got to start with some camps, all right, and be realistic of where you're at. If you're a 5'6", 150-pound high school kid, you're probably not going to be a Division I athlete. But be realistic, and maybe you are. Twitter nowadays has opened it up for everybody. So I could put a seminar on how a recruit needs to put his Twitter page together, put his highlights together, because you can now tag in any coach you want to tag on, and he can look at your stuff. So any athlete now, if he's from Canada, if he's from Germany, if he's from Opelousas, Louisiana, can be a national recruit. So it's something I like to talk to young kids about, how to get exposure. Because before, when I was in high school, either a coach had to come to you or you had to go to him. And so nowadays it's not that way. So Twitter is it's your resume. So you put it together right. You definitely want to have all your information on it. You want to have easy access. You want it to have your best highlights first. Make sure, because if you're a prospect, you get about 30 seconds of my time. And if it's good, I'll keep watching. If it's not, I'm turning it off. And so if you put your best stuff first, you'll keep me watching.
You're loving this stuff, aren't you, Darren? This is stuff you talk about all the time.
This is. I mean, taking advantage of those opportunities and networking and putting yourself out there. And I know Amanda's big on that. Where is she hanging out in the back, too? You know, doing our social media today. But that's really huge. And then just as that was all happening, I saw, did you see the comment on this?
You can read it. You can read
well,
it.
Well, yeah. I just want Mike to look at it. And what's that like to see the comment from Shirley pop it?
I'm going to read it. It says, watching from Regina, very proud of my son, Mike Kershaw. Your mom's watching at home.
She is first off, she is a number one Rider fan. So she loves the Rough Riders, first off. Probably a bigger fan of me than the Rough Riders, but of course we love her very much. We were actually up in Saskatchewan this summer, so those Yorkton people back there, I was in Yorkton, Saskatchewan this summer.
I'm not sure. You guys got your eyes open? They had toothpicks in their eyelids earlier, so I wasn't sure. Hey, did you get back to the new stadium?
I did. Jeremy and I have been good friends. We've kind of connected again since I got back in, so he took me around. Right at the beginning of the season, so I think they were maybe 1-3 at the time, and they weren't doing very well. Obviously, they turned that around, but beautiful place. I grew up in Taylor Field, running around the locker rooms, and that place there is top-notch. I mean, I've been a lot of facilities, and that place is second to none.
Well, I should mention, too, with Phil, like, he was big time. So when he had you around there, who were the players that gave you a hard time or took you under your wing? Who are the guys that are memorable to you?
So running back Lucius Floyd was a guy that used to come to some of my Pop Warner games. Tony Rice, when he was there for a couple years, obviously I was a big Tony Rice fan. Really upset with the upper brass when they got rid of him. Never played much there, but he was my guy. So trying to remember, you know, Don Narcisse, obviously watching him play, he was a legend. So a ton of guys that I remember watching growing up and you know, run around the locker room with. They all took you under their wing and give you a hard time in the locker room. So it was great. Great place to grow up in.
Pretty cool that Narca was sitting in that chair on Friday, and he just seemed to be so many people's favorite rider. He's mine, yours, as you pointed out, too. And one of those things where when they say, you never want to meet your hero because you'll be disappointed, Don's not that. You know, he's a first-class guy. All you football guys in Houston, do you connect at all? Like, do you have a little association? Or is there so many of you that you can't?
I haven't really connected with much. I mean, Don and I have talked a little bit on social media. Actually, the guy that I connected with last week in Nashville was Ken Austin. He's now at Liberty. He's the offensive coordinator at Liberty University. And we were actually at a high school practice watching a couple kids, and I kind of bumped. I was walking through the parking lot. I looked over. I was like, I think that's Kent Austin. So I went over to Kent, and, you know, we talked for 5-10 minutes before he was going to another place. And so we kind of crossed paths on the recruiting trail. So he's doing great. He looks great.
He does.
And so happy for him, and they've done a really good thing at Liberty.
He doesn't age, that man. I don't know what his secret is. And, you know, you talk about recruiting. We're so lucky to have you here because you weren't supposed to be here today. Can you talk about what your schedule's like right now?
So now is probably our busiest time of year. People would think during the season, hey, you're in the office a lot. As soon as the season's over with, our last game's on Saturday, we're on the road on Sunday. So I'll just kind of give you where I was last week. Left out of here, flew to Nashville, had to go to a small town in Tennessee, had to drive back to Nashville, did a home visit in Nashville, Tennessee. Then I drove to North Georgia to go see a kid. Then I flew out of Atlanta, flew out of Atlanta into Austin on a Wednesday night. I got there about 11:30 at night. The next morning I was in a small town called Killeen, Texas, and then did another home visit in Austin, and then drove back for our official visit this weekend. So very busy. I told my wife I'll see you in a couple weeks, and once we're done in a couple weeks, we're done for a month, so she'll be trying to get me out of the house after a while. But it's a busy, busy time. As soon as I leave here, I'm heading back to Austin, have another visit to do tonight. And so it's a busy time. It's a fun time. I love getting on the road recruiting, just building your program, and that's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, like they say, being a champion in the living room, I guess. I mean, you enjoy the recruiting end of it as much as the actual coaching?
I love it. I love, you know, selling what we have at Rice. Rice is a top-notch institution in the world. And so if you can come to a school like Rice, get a great degree that we offer, and play Division I football, they're second to none.
We should mention, too, that the kids that you're recruiting, they have a certain academic standard, too, right?
They do. So there's an NCAA standard, and we're a good bit above that. So we can't just go recruit every kid that's out there. We've got to make sure they have the high ACT, the high SAT, obviously the high GPA, and they're taking the right classes too. So when you talk about dumb football players, we don't have those.
Jack, here's Phil. Here's your dad. Great job, guys. Great to see Mike on my favorite show, from Phil Kershaw, watching from Maple Ridge, BC. What was the other one there, Clark? Can you put it up? It was from Jack Allen in Regina. Maybe it's going to be too, doesn't have time to flip it. You had mentioned a tour of your stadium, and obviously, here it is, from Jack. I enjoy the Rod Peterson Show so much, I miss it on the weekends. Maui calling, LOL. That's Jack in Maui watching the program today. We couldn't get to your stadium. I've heard so much about it, particularly from George, who did coach there. What can you tell us about your home stadium?
Our place here at Rice?
Yeah.
It's a great place. It's got a lot of history. There was actually a Super Bowl in 74, I believe it was, where one of the only off NFL stadiums that held a Super Bowl. So that was fantastic. There was another historical event where JFK did the go to the moon speech. And so we use a lot of that in our recruiting. I mean, it's a historical place. It's a great place to play a football game, great place to watch a game. We built some new things to it, so we built a new facility as well. So we've kind of got a little bit of the old, a little bit of the new, and it's a great place to play.
What's it hold for capacity?
I think initially when it was built, it was 74,000. They've kind of taken out of some of the end zone seats, and then they've tarped the other side. So I believe right now it's about 42, 43.
I'm just going to sprinkle in comments as we go, Mike, if that's okay.
No problem.
Norm Fong is watching, and he says, Mike, congrats on your Rice coaching job. It's sure a long ways from our Rider dressing room. What do you remember about Normie?
Norm is great. Norm was a guy that, again, when little punk kid run around the locker room, he would give me shirts, and I did a lot of work for him in some of these training camps. I'd go around and working as a ball boy, working as some water people. So it was good. Norm's a great guy. Norm treated me very, very well. So I thank him for everything he did for me.
Evan Dom, he's with the Canada West, and he talked about how nice the Rice campus is, just with a comment that just flashed up for a second. And we heard all about the connections between Rice and the NASA campus, right, when we were on our tram tour. So that's pretty cool. And you talk about using that as part of your recruiting and whatnot. But I wanted to find out, where does the CFL fit when it comes to not just recruiting, but in terms of the whole football landscape as it's seen by players who come through your program or the NCAA program? I know we got guys here, and pro jobs are so hard to get, and life after, you know, playing university college football is so tough to get to. But where does the CFL fit in the picture of the players' minds, the coaches' minds, the future? And, you know, where does that fit?
So obviously the NFL is the dream, right? That's kind of the pinnacle. And for these kids, they don't really see anything other than that initially. Everyone thinks they're an NFL player, which they're not. But they're going to take that aspect. And if they don't get that opportunity, then they've got to branch out. So really the CFL, now the new XFL, become options. And they're great options because it could be a stepping stone to the NFL, or they could be in the CFL and play great career. Like Bo Levi Mitchell, who, again, is right down the road to Katy, Texas, had a great CFL career and probably will never be in the NFL, but has had a great professional football career. So the CFL is a viable option for these guys. It's not obviously the first option. It's not the first thing they're thinking of. I don't get a kid who comes in as a freshman or sophomore, hey, I can't wait to go play in the CFL. I'm going to be an NFL guy. I want to play for whoever, right? That's not the opportunity that everybody gets. And so once they understand that, once the kind of reality sets in, they're not going to be an NFL player, or they're a practice guy, or they're, you know, they sign as a free agent, that's not going to last very long. And so they have to look at the other options, and the other options are great. CFL is the best one.
Well, and you look at guys who are just sitting up here. Garrick went on to a pretty good NFL stint after the CFL. Are they looking at it as a springboard? I'm sure none of them come up and expect to, you know, stay, marry their wife, have a family, never come back. Are they looking at it as a springboard, and is it a springboard?
It can be, and I think, again, everybody who goes up there will see that initially. Like, I'm going to go there, and they're taught that by their agent. Hey, go there for a couple years, go play great, you're going to get the NFL, which happens some. Not a lot, but it happens some. So yes, you're going to keep that as your dream, and you're going to fight and continue to keep doing that. Once they get up there, they see that's a legitimate league, right? They playing in Regina is a legitimate option. Go play in BC, Toronto, wherever it is. It's a great place to play. So once you get up there, it probably opens up a lot more. Hey, this is something I can continue to keep doing.
I got to ask you before you go, because our producer Clark's telling us we only got a couple minutes left, but I had a family member ask me. You'd be the best guy to answer it. Why is NCAA football so popular? Because in Canada, it's another world, right? We don't have any schools. But you turn on the TV and see 115,000 people in the Big House or wherever. Why is it so popular? Why are these stadiums bigger than the NFL? And the passion seems to be even more so.
Probably some of it has to do with where they're located. You know, if you look, let's just take the state of Alabama. There's not an NFL team there, right? People are always drawn to sports teams. And so when you have an Alabama, you have an LSU, that's their deal. I mean, they live and die and literally sometimes die over their teams, right? And so you're going to get as many people in there as you possibly can. Obviously, alumni are big deals with that, so they come back, and so they've got hundreds of thousands of alumni. But people, a lot of people love NCAA better than NFL. It's just something that I love the college game better than the NFL game. And a lot of people do. I just like watching it better. But it's a big, big, big billion-dollar business. And, you know, these places will always be full.
I think that's how I feel about junior hockey, and I think you're the same. I like it more than the NHL, which you don't get a ton of down here, of course, but not anymore. No. Just a couple comments I'm going to read before we let Mike go. From Craig Smith, he's what we call our director of scouting, two-time Grey Cup champion as a personnel guy. It says two Canadian kids went to Rice, Luke Wilson and Christian Covington, yep. Grover's son, CFL sack king. And can you put the one up from Norway, Clark, if you don't mind? Oh, here's Donna out in Central Butte. She says, great interview. Wow. And we have 19 viewers every day, Mike, in the country of Norway. Here it is.
Nice.
Trent, Norway calling. Great to see the trip going well. Oh, number 32s, because this is episode number 132 of the Rod Peterson Show. We always recognize a number of a player corresponding with it. Franco Harris from the Steelers, Claude Lemieux from the Habs, Milson Jones from the Riders. And he says, go Riders. That's from Trent. I got to put in for number 32, Kelly Rudy, my favorite all-time number 32. How about a hand for Mike Kershaw, everybody? And through... It's funny down here with the earlier gentleman talking about technology, with the wonders of technology, Mike.
your whole family able to watch this interview today. Right. Pretty awesome. I appreciate you coming on. I hope you enjoyed it.
This was great. I appreciate you giving me a call, and I look forward to it anytime you need me.
All right. And thank you for the gifts, by the way, Mike. I appreciate it. Might even have one for you.
Oh.
Jackie Mitchell, Rider Great, joining us here in the Doubletree in Houston, Texas. When we come back, it's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Every sale held in 2019 has led up to our biggest event of the year. Ring in the savings with year-end clear-out at Capital GMC. We're making a list and checking it twice of the biggest savings on pre-owned vehicles this holiday season. Check out this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 Chevy Equinox. Get it under the tree for just $25,998 plus tax. And this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 GMC Acadia is only $32,997 plus tax. Only at Canada's number one certified pre-owned dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming at the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.